Do you know that there is only one God in three eternal persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit? Do you know that Jesus said He is the only way to heaven, and His death and resurrection bring forgiveness of sins to all who believe? Welcome to the Pastor Study, a ministry of pastorstudy.org. Join us now as we study God's Word, the Bible, together.
Welcome to the Pastor Study. Maybe you're a Christian and you know what the Bible says about homosexuality, that it's wrong, but you're pulled toward that. That's a strong pull for you. Or maybe your son or daughter just came home, "Mom, Dad, I'm gay," or I know a grandpa whose grandson is saying, "I'm transgender, I'm a woman stuck in a male body." What do we do? Where's the hope? Can you get out of this stuff? Or, you know, the liberals would have you believe this is a fixed thing that even God can't change. Well, I want to introduce to you Nate Oilo. Hi, Nate.
Hey, good to be with you, Tom.
Nate has a ministry called Agape First, a ministry, and they help people with unwanted same-sex attraction, with the transgender issue. We're going to get into all of that. But first, Nate just returned from the Supreme Court of Washington, D.C., the National Supreme Court. Tell us why you were there, Nate.
Yeah, it was a really exciting day. There are laws that have been passed over these past few years that outlaw what they call conversion therapy. What they mean by that is any kind of talk therapy that where the therapist would help somebody bring their sexuality into agreement with their faith. So if you have a young person struggling with same-sex attractions or gender dysphoria, the therapist can certainly counsel them towards those things, but if they want to explore what that means in terms of their Christianity or their faith, that's illegal.
And getting away from it. And of course, our liberal state of Minnesota, we have that law.
So, we
do. And so do 23 other states.
Yeah, we do.
So tell me why you went to the Supreme Court.
So these laws have been challenged in multiple states, and the Supreme Court agreed to take up a case out of the state of Colorado, Childs versus Salazar. So Kaylee Childs is a therapist in Colorado, and she challenged the law. We joined the case through an amicus brief here in Minnesota.
We being who?
Myself, another person. We had, I think, 55 therapists. True North Legal was the one that drafted the amicus brief for us.
55 Minnesota therapists?
Minnesota therapists.
Well, I didn't think we had that many conservatives.
Well, I know.
In the whole state. Okay, yeah.
We do. Uh-huh. So we drafted an amicus brief and went out to D.C. For the hearing. It was a great day because clearly it's a free speech case and there's viewpoint bias. I can
freedom of religion case.
Well, it's a freedom of religion case, but they're really pushing the free speech angle because what I say is protected speech, right?
Yeah.
In these cases, and so I really think it's going to go in our favor.
We got to pray.
Yeah, we do.
So
absolutely.
Everybody. We're going to spend the rest of the half hour talking about how do you get out of this or help your child out of it, but let's just pray first. Lord, we would pray that the Supreme Court would rule in favor of freedom of religion, freedom of speech, and that we would not be silenced by the courts or by liberal politicians who want us to be quiet. Lord, we would pray that there would be a victory so that young people could be set free from this a gender dysphoria, sexual confusion.
Yeah.
And now, Lord, we pray your Holy Spirit would speak to us. Anybody watching this program who has same-sex attraction or they have a loved one that's caught up in this, just, Lord, speak to us from heaven by your Holy Spirit now. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you.
Well, Nate, we always, before we get into an interview, I always like to ask the guest, how did you come to know Christ?
Yeah. Well, I was raised in the church. I grew up in Western North Dakota, went to a small little country Lutheran church on the prairie. And that was a really amazing thing because they sowed the word of God into us. I always seemed to have an affinity for God. I was the sixth grade kid that said, "I want to be a pastor when I grow up." But it was at a Bible camp that I went to where the gospel was presented, and it just felt like the next natural step in my walk with the Lord and receive Jesus as my Savior. And the adventure began, and it was a wild ride. It still continues to be a wild ride.
And so you had this struggle in your life.
Yeah.
Explain that.
Yeah. Well, you know, in tandem with growing up in the church, I was also experiencing a lot of brokenness in my home life. And, of course, that affects your childhood development, mm-hmm. you know, things going on with your parents. And I was experiencing a lot of teasing and bullying, so kids were saying you're gay. I didn't even know what that meant. I mean, this is back in the 80s, so it was a very different time. Back then, we didn't have stuff on TV like we do today. Mm-hmm. But I knew something was different about me, and that seemed to be reinforced by the bullying. And, you know, as time went on, I kind of realized I was dealing with same-sex attractions. I didn't want them. I didn't choose them. I knew it wasn't God's best for me. And so that caused a lot of depression and anxiety. How am I going to get out of this, you know? And so I know what it's like to be that young person that is crying out to God every day saying, just take it away. And seemingly getting no response. It wasn't until I graduated high school and moved to the Twin Cities for college that I discovered a ministry that walks alongside of people who deal with same-sex attractions, gender dysphoria issues. I jumped in with both feet, and God started a healing work in me.
Mm.
That was almost 30 years ago.
Okay, and yeah. has the attraction lessened?
Absolutely.
For you.
Absolutely.
Has. In fact, you're married with kids, aren't you?
Yeah. 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 So I'm
married to a woman.
A woman.
You
got to
say
gotta
these
clarify.
Today. Oh, boy. Oh, boy.
Yeah. Married 21 years. My wife and I just celebrated our 21st wedding anniversary.
Wonderful.
We have three kids, two boys and a girl, 17, 15, and 10.
Yep.
And so, yeah, has God transformed my life? Absolutely. Is this possible for anyone who bows their knee to Jesus and makes him the Lord of their lives? Absolutely. That's the truth of the gospel.
Yeah, yeah. Now, so there are Christians, though,
yeah.
who come to Christ, they, mm-hmm. they follow him, but they still get tempted like this.
Sure.
What do you do with those people? What do you say? How do you help them?
Well, you know, I do help those people. You know, I have people that come to me and
because that's what your ministry
that's,
is.
That's what the ministry is, and they're in various stages of the healing journey. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I try to teach people it is a journey and it is a process. And God doesn't always change that thing that we want to see changed first. There's other things that he might be working on. And my job as a pastoral caregiver is to partner with the Holy Spirit and what God is doing.
Yeah.
And on all of that unto holiness, which is what God is really after. And that includes the whole person, our sexuality as well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, if people have watched the show a lot, my struggle in life has been this very issue. And if you go to my website, there's two articles you can see. What does the Bible say about homosexuality? And contrary to some of your radical pastors, the Bible still says what it says. It's a sin. And then the second article is my personal struggle with this. But, Nate, so I'm going to quiz you on this.
Yeah.
So I did a video that we put on Facebook Reels. Mm-hmm. And in the video, all I said was, yes, this has been my struggle in life, but for the sake of Christ and my eternal soul, I don't go that direction. Yeah. I abstained.
Yeah.
I got it from the left and the right.
Really?
Oh, so here's some of the comments I got.
Okay.
Boy, people were mad. So here's some. First, we'll do the liberal comments, and then we'll do some of the conservative comments. Mm-hmm. Both of which were it was like this. Okay. So Nate, Pastor Brock, God made you this way. You are perfect, just the way you are. What would you say to that?
Well, you know, I'd say that's really not the message that we get in Scripture.
Perfect? No one is perfect.
No one is perfect. And you know, I think what that does is that diminishes the gospel for all people because none of us are perfect. We all fall short. We all need a Savior. And you know, this brokenness issue that I've dealt with is just my brokenness issue and something that Jesus died for. And so I can walk in gratitude to him for dying for my brokenness and sin.
Does God make you gay?
Absolutely not.
So what if somebody, though, has had these feelings of all their life? What do you do with that?
Well, see, and this is where I think people need to kind of untangle things with some qualified help. Because, you know, I'll have people come into my office and say, "Well, I knew I was gay when I was 3. And I'd say, well, 3-year-olds aren't sexualized.
No.
They don't have sexual attractions. Mm-hmm. And if they do, something happened that shouldn't have happened that awakened that in you before its time. And so maybe at 3 they felt different, mm-hmm. like they didn't belong. Maybe mm-hmm. they had some things going on in that regard. But I think that needs to be explored. I knew I was gay when I was 3. They weren't gay
yeah.
when they were 3.
No.
And so these are things that I think kind of start to take root more around the age of puberty, you know.
All right. What about this one? Another one yeah. from, you are gay because God made you that way. And once you have this issue, this is the way you are for life. Yeah. What do you say to that?
Yeah. Well, again, you know, we use the Bible as our guide for faith and practice, and the Bible is clear in Genesis 1. God made them male and female, right? And the two shall become one in marriage. There's no other option.
No, there is not.
That's God's created order.
Well, being single.
Well, being single.
Celibate.
Which, yeah, exactly.
1 Corinthians 7.
You can, yeah, we love our celibates. We love singleness. But, you know, in terms of created order, there's male, there's female, there's masculine, there's feminine.
Yep.
And God created it that way. And so we have a choice to make. Do we live in God's created order? Or do we try to make our own, you know, sort of fantasy, illusionary created order and try to live within that? But when we do, it doesn't end well.
All right, one more
yeah.
from the liberals.
All right, go for it.
Gender is a social construct. There are many genders. Just you're being too binary. It's not just male and female. There's 100 genders.
Yeah.
What do you say to that?
Oh, man. Well, I tell people gender is a God construct. It was his idea.
Absolutely.
Again, at Genesis 1, we have to have an understanding of how this all began. God created them male and female mm-hmm. in his image, mm-hmm. right? He established the binary.
Yeah.
It was his idea.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so we can either come into agreement with God and the way that he made things. But we, you know, we, even if you're not religious, you should be able to see the binary.
Absolutely.
It's pretty clear.
Yeah.
I mean, you've
yeah.
got male and female
yeah.
at all the animals. And, so,
and what's really disturbing, Nate, I led my congregation out of the liberal evangelical mm-hmm. Lutheran Church in America because they promote transgenderism, yeah. homosexuality, and the United Methodist, the Episcopal mm-hmm. Church, the United Church of Christ, the Presbyterian Church USA, all of those denominations have gone over. They used to be pretty biblical.
Yeah.
They've lost it on this issue.
Oh.
And what I like to quote to the ELCA bishops and some of them who say there's a number of genders,
uh-huh.
Matthew 18, Jesus said, yeah. God, yeah. who made them in the beginning, made them male and female. He didn't add, and transgender,
no.
and bisexual. And he just, you know, Jesus was very binary.
Yeah.
But they know better.
Yeah.
They're more enlightened. It's evil.
You know, I grew up ELCA, not ELCA any longer, but I got to be a part of a lot of those early conversations and the different
I bet that was
and things.
Fun.
Well, this was the enlightening thing because I got to meet with some of the top bishops of the time, and they were really driving the whole
What year was this about?
This was back in the 90s,
okay. yeah.
early 2000s.
Yeah, I know.
And so I met with these bishops, and we told them our stories of transformation, and we're having a back-and-forth conversation. But finally, it just came down to this question, is it sin? And my colleague said, well, you know, the Bible says, and their response was, well, there are other books.
I've heard that.
So that answered.
And I was in that battle, too, in
yeah.
the 1990s, and I would put up my hand at the conventions. They'd have their gay lesbian task force.
Right.
And I'd say, how come every single one on the gay lesbian task force is pro-gay?
Yeah.
Not one yeah. represents what Christians have believed for 2,000 years.
Right, right.
Is not the deck stacked, and now they totally won.
Oh, yeah.
It's over. Yeah. All right. And last thing from the liberals.
Yeah.
Nate, why are you so hateful? If you disagree with them, you're filled with hate.
I know. But see, this is part of the strategy that activists use. They want to make their opponent a hate monger. We see it now calling people Nazis, or, you know, I mean, if I can make my opponent evil in the eyes of everybody else, then it's okay to, you know,
discount them. All right.
I think people that know me sound pretty nice.
And you know what? No offense, but when you see people debating this, who are the people that are screaming with anger? Yeah. It's the transgender activists.
Oh, yeah.
Boy, they're angry.
They're really angry,
And a hype, you know, of course, not all transgender activists are killing people.
No.
But a high number, a high percentage have been recently doing the mass shootings.
Yes, and I saw that in our own state.
Just angry.
With the Annunciation shooting, yeah.
And he was transgender, was he?
Yeah.
All right, now we'll go to the conservatives.
Yeah.
This is after me saying what I said on TV.
Yeah.
Pastor Brock, if you would just have that demon cast out, you wouldn't be tempted that way anymore.
Yeah.
What do you say to that?
Well, I've experienced that question myself. You know, you have to understand, you know, what sets somebody up for a struggle with same-sex attractions. There are a lot of things that happen in people's lives that can cause this. And what we see is that at the core, it's a relational brokenness issue. It's an attachment loss issue.
With parents.
With your same-sex peers. And while I believe in the demonic, and I believe that if you're going places you shouldn't and doing things you shouldn't be doing, you can pick stuff up.
Mm-hmm.
The core of the issue remains a relational issue. Mm-hmm. And so then God heals relational issues relationally, in relationship with himself and in relationship with his body. So demonic deliverance may be helpful for somebody if that's an issue they're dealing with, but demonic deliverance in and of itself isn't enough to
Like people
see
casting
somebody.
The demon of nicotine out of people who have smoking problems.
Right.
How about this? It's similar. You know, if you really say, Pastor Brock, you wouldn't have this struggle. What do you say to that?
Yeah. I always have to come back to the Bible, because Jesus came to seek and save the lost. He died for the sick, right? And you know, the people that need a doctor, that was me. You know, I was sick. I needed help. And Jesus was the great physician that met me in that place while I was yet a sinner. He met me in that place, but he doesn't leave us there. And so we start a journey, and it's called the sanctification process.
Amen.
Yeah.
And, you know, I tell you, never in Scripture does it says once you're saved, you won't get tempted anymore.
No.
It just says there's no temptation that isn't that accepted. They're all common to man, but God gives you the grace.
Yeah.
So it's not like Martin Luther said regarding a thought I can't stop a bird from landing on my head.
Right.
I can stop it from building a nest up there.
Yeah.
In other words, I can't control every thought that comes into my mind. I can control letting it stay in there.
Yeah.
But, all right, another thing from a conservative was, well, you know, this they can say this. I don't know that anybody did on this point, but this is the worst sin in the Bible. It's the most disgusting sin in the Bible. What do you respond to that?
Well, you know, I try to help people understand that all sin separates us from God, and that's a big deal. You know, so whether you're gossiping in church, or whether you're, you know, having flagrantly sinning sexually, all of that can separate you from God.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus came to reunite us with the Father, to reconcile us to the Father, and that applies to all sinners.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, people always want to make homosexuality the worst sin. I think the Bible says different. I think it says in Proverbs that divisiveness, God hates divisiveness worse than anything. I think people can be very divisive in our churches, especially around this issue.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it kind of becomes a log spec sort of issue.
Yeah.
You know, we need to examine our own lives before we maybe point out somebody else is the worst.
One last one. Doesn't the Bible say that if you've got this problem, you're going to hell?
Well, the Bible says that unredeemed people go to hell. Right? So if Jesus is not your Lord and Savior, if you have not bowed your knee to him, then that is where you are going, clearly. But it goes back to what we were talking about before. When we make Jesus the Lord of our lives, do all of our problems magically disappear. No, the Bible doesn't teach that.
No.
We begin a process called sanctification where God works these things out of us. But
I want to maintain there's got to be a change of life or you're not saved.
Right.
You know, I'm a Lutheran. I believe we're saved by grace alone.
Amen.
But grace changes your life. And if you say you're saved by Christ and what he did for you on the cross, but there's no change in your life, you're living in impenitent sin, you haven't been saved by grace alone.
Right.
And the verse that helped me not get into the behavior is 1 Corinthians 6. I'll quote it.
Yeah.
Paul the Apostle writes, "Don't be deceived. Do you not know the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Neither idolaters, nor idolaters, nor fornicators, homosexuals, thieves, greedy, robbers, they will not inherit the kingdom of God. Such were some of you, Corinthians, but you were washed. You came to Christ." So that verse helped me not get into this like I could have. By the grace of God, I didn't. But so we're not, I believe that if you don't repent, if you're living in a penitent sin, no matter what it is, you are going to hell.
Yeah.
But such were some of you.
Exactly.
There's people watching this show that have been forgiven of all this stuff. And if they slip and fall, then you repent again and you come back to the Lord.
Yeah. Righteous man falls seven times, he gets back up every time.
Yeah. All right, let's do this one. Maybe somebody's watching this program and they really want help.
Yeah.
How do they get out of this?
Yeah.
Maybe somebody is having sex outside of marriage, just heterosexually or homosexually, and they're just so pulled, by, they can't seem to stop.
Yeah.
How do they get help?
Yeah. There's so many great resources out there, through the church, Celebrate Recovery. Is a great program.
Those are great churches around the country.
Yep, they're all over the place.
Google
Celebrate Recovery. Or just Google help for and fill in the blank, whatever your issue is. There's groups. There's, qualified pastoral caregivers. But here's the key. You can't do it alone. You really need help.
Yeah, you do.
And so you have to find the people that can walk alongside of you with what you're dealing with.
And I like a group called Restored Hope Network.
Yep, RHN, we love them.
If you Google that, you'll see a map. And all over the country, there are support groups of Christians who struggle with this. If you're a man, you get in a little small group with other men, or a woman with women, and you hold each other accountable every week. You pray every week. Yep. And you can't beat this thing by yourself.
No. Like I said, it's a relational issue, and God heals it in relationship with himself and with his body.
How did he do it for you? I mean, did you get counseling? Did you join a small group? How did he do it for you?
All of the above. I started out, I joined a small group here in the Twin Cities. I was seeing a therapist. I was getting healing prayer, pastoral care, conferences. I mean, I was so hungry for transformation, and when I found out that it was possible, I jumped in with both feet. If there was something going on at church that, God was healing this or that, I was there. I was in the front row. If they offered prayer ministry, I ran to the front. And I still do. I still engage in those things because God's not done with me yet, right?
Yeah.
So I'm still in process,
and
God's done a work, but there's more to be done.
And, let me ask you this. I knew a man named John who came to Christ, got on his knees, repented, and his alcoholism was gone.
Yeah.
And I would say to him, John, do you ever get tempted? Nope. But I knew another man named Bob who came to Christ, believed in him, but Tom, I still have to go to my AA meeting every Friday, and he's been doing this for decades, or I know I'm going to be in trouble. And I think that can be true in this. Everybody's different.
There
are some people that do get, boom, they're kind of healed of it.
Yeah.
There are other people who struggle with the temptation the rest of their life. Do you think that's accurate?
Yeah. I know a lady, and because I know her and I've known her for a long time, I know this to be true. God healed her instantly. She was a lesbian. She got saved. God healed her. And you're right. I know other people who need that ongoing support and help in their lives.
Yep.
I do think that God empowers us to abstain from sin, right? So God gives us the strength to do that. But, that the enemy knows how to push our buttons, and that doesn't change.
No.
Right?
So, do you have small groups with your ministry?
We do.
You do. And let's put that up. If somebody's watching this program, We're in the Twin Cities, but this TV show's on all over the country.
Yeah.
For those of you outside of Minnesota, Google Restored Hope Ministry. For you, those of you in Minnesota, agapefirstministries.org.
Yeah.
agapefirstministries.org, and they'll find the information there.
Yeah, all of the information's on our website. We have a support group for parents, grandparents, family, friends. If you have a loved one that's dealing with this issue and you want to be a part of the army that prays them out, we have the Agape Force. And then we have a group for young men who are dealing with this issue, the Sons of Issachar. Because the Bible says they understood the times and they knew what to do. And it's our desire to raise up young men who know what to do in the hour in which we live.
Good.
Yeah.
Well, we've only got 2 minutes, but one more question here for you. Or maybe two. So somebody's watching this show and my son came home and said, "Mom, I'm gay," or mm-hmm. "Dad, I'm gay." Or, "Grandpa, I'm transgender."
Mm-hmm.
What do you do if you're one in those situations?
Yeah, those are really hard situations. There's a lot of shock, I think, that people have to navigate. But build a support system around yourself. And we have our parents group is online. So no matter where you are in the nation, you can be a part of that.
Okay.
But we'll talk with you on the phone. We'll counsel you through it.
Sure.
You know, we'd love to connect.
And of course, you love the kid till the day you die.
Absolutely.
But you never say that it's okay.
No.
And to me, like I've been... When I was still fighting the good fight in the liberal ELCA church, I'm a hater.
Mm.
No, I'm sorry. If you're encouraging people to stay in homosexual behavior, you're the hater.
Exactly.
Because of their eternity. Don't you care where they spend eternity? Again, 1 Corinthians 6:9-11.
It's right there.
Well, everybody, there's our TV show, pastorstudy.org, if you want to support our ministry and help us stay on the air. But here's Nate's... agapefirstministries.org. You can go there and get all kind of info. And, you know, Nate, give us a 30-second prayer for anyone watching this show that maybe needs help. Go ahead.
Absolutely. So, Heavenly Father, we just thank you for everyone watching today. If there's somebody watching that is dealing with these issues, Lord, I pray that you would meet them where they're at. I pray that they would encounter Jesus in a life-changing way.
Yep.
I pray that the words that we spoke today would be words of hope. And Lord, that you would draw them into a life-changing relationship with yourself, because your word says that we can't come to Jesus unless you draw us first. We pray in your name.
Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Thanks, Nate. God bless you, everybody. See you next week, everybody. You can go to pastorstudy.org to watch this on TV if you know someone that needs it. Take care.
Thank you for watching the Pastor Study. You can watch more of our programs at pastorstudy.org. We are on the air preaching the good news of Jesus Christ because of the generous support of you, our viewers. Would you consider supporting our ministry? You may do so at pastorstudy.org or write the Pastor Study, P.O. Box 41294, Minneapolis, Minnesota 55441. May the blessing of our one triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be with you now and forever.